miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And the show today brought to you by Morning and Night Multivitamins and UBeauty.com. Dr. Jeffrey Bland is our guest at 35 after the hour. He is the father and face of functional medicine. His book is entitled The Disease Delusion, Conquering the Causes of Chronic Illness for a Healthier, Longer, and Happier Life. Dr. Jeffrey Bland at 35 minutes after the hour. Udocs at gmail.com, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S at gmail.com. Let's cover the topic of breast cancer with a couple of topics in that particular area, Dr. Mike. Double mastectomies are going up, yet the results are not too encouraging. Why so?
Right. Well, the data shows that double mastectomies have gone up substantially in the number. Approximately 30% of people are getting double mastectomies. Women are getting it to prevent, or in their mind, to prevent a spread of cancer to the other breast. And this is both a fairly disfiguring operation and one with some sizable morbidity afterwards. What was found that after 10 years, they looked at 189,000 to be specific, patients who underwent either a double or bilateral mastectomy or unilateral mastectomy or breast-conserving surgery plus radiation therapy, and it turned out that the double mastectomy did not decrease death rates over unilateral breast-conserving surgery plus radiation. So even if you're under 40, you should have a long discussion with a physician. And this article in one of our most respected journals came and said, in fact, the physician should have a responsibility of informing patients that in the vast majority of cases, this is not the right thing for lower rates or for higher rates of survival.
A lot of ambiguity with breast cancer and testing and what causes what doesn't happen. Mammograms, how often should you get them? At what age should you get them? The double mastectomies don't help increase survival. There are a lot of different, opinions on this. And will there come a point where we'll, finally get some kind of consensus on it and work toward that goal?
We have pretty good consensus on a lot of it, Joe, but what's happening now is that we're uncovering more and more genes that are associated with it and more ways of treating it very successfully. So you're going to see, the rates of survival, the five-year survival rate is over 90%. I think it's actually over 95% now in breast cancer. So it's really remarkable how good the treatments are right now. The difference is there's a lot, if you will, of saying who should get the mammogram. You're absolutely right. It's probably every woman over the age of 40 every year should get a mammogram. They've relaxed it to every 2 years in some circumstances, but most of us still believe every year. And then when do you stop getting them? You stop getting them when the patient's got a risk of dying from something else that's going to kill them before the breast cancer would. So maybe it's at a functional age of 79 or 80 in women, since women's average age of death is 83. Well, that means some 90-year-old women who are young for their age, whose real age is, 70, should still be getting them. But it also means that some 70-year-olds who are in significant heart failure and won't live more than 2 or 3 years should not get them. So that's the problem, is that there are fairly good pathways, there are fairly good treatments, and they are improving constantly now as we're learning more and more about different receptors, so breast cancer is not breast cancer, it's breast cancer. Breast cancer is now about 15 different diseases that is treated differently based on the receptor type, based on the genetics.
Okay, now, bras and breast cancer, that's the other part of this topic with this particular story. Bras and breast cancer, what's the connection?
Well, this is an interesting story because there was a myth that, the longer you wore a breast drawer, that you inhibited lymphatic drainage. That's the drainage of waste products, and that maybe that was would increase breast cancer risk. So this is a large study looking at people who wore bras versus women who didn't wear bras versus the time they looked at it. 1,500 postmenopausal women with and without a history of breast cancer. There was no increased risk from wearing a bra, no change in risk at all. So bras, at least the way they're fitted now, seem to be harmless. Didn't matter whether it was an A cup or a D cup, didn't matter whether they were heavy or thin, didn't matter whether they had a wire underneath or not, didn't matter whether they wore a sports bra to bed or not. I mean, nothing mattered. It was no difference in risk.
Udocs@gmail.com, Youdocs at gmail.com. Running through some of the top medical stories of the week till we get to guest time at 35 minutes past the hour. Diets. Well, actually, the headline you wrote up is pretty interesting. Diet died on the wall. Which is the fairest of them all?
Well, so this was an interesting set of studies this week. So one study showed that no matter what diet you were on, as long as you stuck to it and as long as you stayed with it, that so they looked at Jenny Craig versus South Beach versus Atkins versus Zone versus Ornish versus Nutrisystem versus Weight Watchers, etc. They all resulted in about the same weight loss. They dropped around 16 pounds at 6 months, and they gained a few of those pounds back by 12 months. So that was one of the studies. The other study was a really interesting one, and that's the one I titled Diet, Diet on the Wall, Which is the Fairest of Them All. Why did I do that?
Yeah.
Well, the headlines were screamed out this past week as a study from New Orleans on diet choices. Joe, don't laugh. New Orleans has a lot of people who need to be on a diet, so does every city.
I don't disagree.
and the results were screamed out, eat more red meat and fat. The low-carb diet results in more weight loss and better cardiac variables, that is, things that lead to cardiac risk, than the low-fat. It was published in a reliable journal, so the question is, what did it really say? Well, let's review the facts of the study, and you got to get in the weeds, so let me go get in the weeds. It was 148 obese non-diabetics to either a low-fat or a low-carb diet. 88% were women, 51% were African-American. The low fat was to have less than 30% of their diet as fat and less than 7% saturated fat. The low carb was to have less than 40 grams of carbs, about 10% of a 1,600-calorie diet. No calorie amount was specified. So what did they really do? Well, the low carb group lost about 12 pounds over the year. The low fat group, about 4 pounds. So the low carb, fewer carbs, looked better. Except, what did the low carb group do? They also were instructed to have only healthy fats. That is, monounsaturated fats were guided off of meat and guided out of trans fat. So, in fact, it's exactly what we've been recommending on this show all along. Avoid the five food felons. Simple sugars, added syrups, low, if you will, only 100% whole grains, and avoid trans fat and saturated fat. That's the diet that seems to be the best from a standpoint of lower inflammation in your body and greater weight loss.
Udocs@gmail.com, Youdocs at gmail.com. And our guest is 8 minutes away, 6 minutes away, at 35 minutes after the hour, the father and the face of functional medicine, Dr. Jeffrey Bland. His book is called The Disease... Not solution, the disease delusion. You may want to stick for this one. And he'll join us in about 5 minutes for our guest segment at 35 past the hour. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.